believe that you're all prepared and you're ready. I know Pastor Debbie is. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Debbie as she comes tonight for our prayer series. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Go right ahead. Amen.
Wow. Here we are again. Time of prayer. 2026, facing it head on. I can't think of a better way to face a year than starting it out in prayer. You know, Jesus said these words. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." He didn't say a house of miracles, a house of teaching and preaching. All that is good and it belongs there, absolutely. But he said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Why did he say that? Because prayer lays the track for the rest of the ministry to function, work, and operate on. If there's no prayer, it's not breaking up the fallow ground for people's hearts to be receptive, open, hungry for what God wants to do in each life. And so did you come expecting tonight? Because I'm used to preaching and teaching in the healing school, and that group pulls.
Come on. We're going to pull.
Hallelujah. That group pulls, and they're hungry, and I believe you're hungry tonight, too. Hallelujah. You know, it's so important that we know what time that it is and what we ought to be doing. The tribe of Issachar was a small tribe in the Bible, but they had a great impact. They knew what time it was, and they knew what they ought to be doing. They was about the Father's business and prayer. Small group, but they made a great impact because they understood the importance of prayer. And the day and the time that we live in, we need to know and understand what time that it is. It's before Jesus return. And knowing that it's before Jesus return, what is on the heart of the Father? People, the souls of men. That's his most valuable, greatest treasure. That's what he died for. That's what he paid for. And when you get to know the Father and have a relationship with him, then the same thing that moves him should move you. The same things that causes him to do what he did for each one of our lives. It caused it to give his life. It caused him to share his life, give his life so that we could have a brand new life. But you begin to know the Father's heartbeat. And you feel what he feels. You feel what he feels. You begin to know what he knows. And there's nothing more important than somebody coming to Jesus Christ. Where they come and accept Jesus Christ for the first time, this is where it tells us in the New Testament that all of heaven celebrates over one sinner that repents. You think about that for a moment. All of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. How much more should we be, come on now, excited and enthusiastic about our job assignment before Jesus returns?
Good.
Win the lost. What did he tell us? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, those who are serious about their walk with God, not just taking it lightly. It's a serious walk, and it's a living, breathing relationship with the Father, ongoing. It's not just an in-out when I need him. Well, I need him to do this for me, Pastor Debbie. Well, yeah, you might need him to do that for you. But God is looking for a vibrant living relationship ongoing with him day after day after day after day after day. And that means to have a living relationship with somebody you need and you should want to spend time with them. Because when we spend time with them, it's how we get to know one another. We share our feelings, we share our hearts, we share, and he begins to share his heart about people and reaching them. So many times we take for granted the little tugs and nudges, unctions of the Holy Spirit when he's trying to get our attention, and whether he wants us to pray for somebody, or whether he wants us to speak with somebody, call somebody, go see somebody. It's just learning to be in a relationship with the Father, and then you learn to be sensitive to those things, and you recognize them, that that's the Father, that's what he would have me to do, wants me to do. And so those things are vitally important. That might be the last chance a person has to receive eternal life. You don't know. The Father knows. He knows everything. And so when we are in tune with him, we can help be that skilled laborer across somebody else's path that may not be here tomorrow. So may our hearts burn with what burns in his heart. May our hearts feel the Father's heartbeat for this time. He's so patient. He's so kind and loving with each one of us. He's very patient because the Bible says he waits. For the people to respond to him. And he's going to do everything that's just and right. So everyone will be without excuse when they leave this earth. Nobody will say he wasn't fair and just with
that's
me.
Right.
He's
fair and just.
Yes, he is. And so tonight as we begin this prayer series, and when I was seeking the Lord and asking him about this, because this is a serious thing to me and I don't take it lightly, and I pray that you catch the spirit of prayer, the principles of prayer. They are taught, but the spirit of prayer has to be caught, and that you being here tonight and with expectation pulling and drawing on the Holy Ghost, that there will be impartations. It's important where you position yourself in this day and time. There are impartations being imparted into you as you're sitting there expecting and pulling and drawing on the Holy Spirit. He's getting to you exactly what you need. Hallelujah. For such a time as this. So, if my people, let's turn in our Bibles together to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And in verse 14. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So if my people, verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, true humility. It's not about your way, it's all about his way. It's not about your plans, it's about his plan and what he wants. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So God is saying, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. So prayer is true humility. It's you willing to give up your time, sometimes your sleep, to pray. It's unselfishness. It's not being selfish and all about you. It's about people. And so God is saying, if my people, so here's the humility part, willing to give yourself to prayer. Willing to give yourself to prayer. That's a humble heart that's willing to give up their time, sleep, whatever. Sometimes their favorite things that they like to do or want to do, and God is asking you to get on your knees and pray for somebody. But it's always rewarding when you see somebody come to Christ. So there are at least 7-9 different kinds of prayer. And I will list them. But many times different kinds of prayer work together like fingers on a hand. There's one hand with many fingers. And there are different kinds of prayer that work together. And list, going through this list here real quick here. To get the list of the prayer. Here we go. There's the prayer of faith, which you pray one time, which is a prayer petition, the prayer that changes things. This prayer is always based on God's revealed will and His word. It never contains an if. This prayer is prayed primarily for yourself. Then there's the prayer of consecration and dedication. This prayer can be prayed more than one time. It can be prayed over and over again. It's a prayer of consecration and dedication of our lives for God's use to go anywhere and do anything that He wants us to do. And this prayer we pray, if it be thy will. This prayer is like peeling an onion. It's layer by layer. Many times you come to a crossroads in your life. Prayer of consecration and dedication is a good prayer to pray. Lord, if it be thy will, what is your plan? What is it you want me to do? Right. Then there's the prayer of commitment. That's the prayer of casting all your cares over on the Lord because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Then there's the prayer of praise and worship, which is ministering to the Lord, singing and praising God. This is the highest kind of prayer because God inhabits the praises of His people. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving were always tied in with prayer. And so this is where I want to stop tonight because this is where we're going to start tonight, the prayer of praise and worship. The prayer of praise and worship is a vital part, should be a vital part in our lives, the prayer of praise and worship. Sometimes. Because it is the highest kind of prayer. And if we turn in our Bibles to Psalms 22, verse 3, Psalms 22 and verse 3, the prayer of praise and worship, the highest kind of prayer. Praises go up, His presence comes down. God inhabits, He lives in, He dwells in, He takes up residence in our prayers, in our praise and worship. I'm sorry, get it out right. So right here in Psalms 22, verse 3, it says, "But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered." The King James says, "God inhabits the praises of his people." Other translation says, "God is enthroned amid the praises." Another translation says, "God is enthroned upon the praises." He's enthroned as the Holy One. Another translation says that God sits down as a judge in ambush, ready for surprise attacks. I like that one. Praise God. He sits down as a judge in ambush with surprise attacks. Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, if we really understood and knew the power that's made available in prayer, there would be more people coming out to pray. If you are part of the prayer ministry here in this church, whether you're a leader or you come out to pre-service prayer, corporate prayer, would you stand to your feet? We appreciate these people. Leaders and prayers is very important. We appreciate you, love you, thank you for being committed, giving yourselves to prayer on a weekly basis. But right here it says, so you are the Holy One and you inhabit the praises of your people. Well, the highest kind of praise, because God lives in the praises of his people. He takes up residence in those praises. Hallelujah. I want us to turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 8. Well, first, let's go to Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. I'm sorry, Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. It says, out of the mouths of babes and unweaned infants, you have established strength because of your foes, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. Praise and worship shuts the mouth of the enemy. When you praise and worship God, God's strength comes into your particular situation and is released as his power to work and operate in your situation. I think we take for granted sometimes how powerful the prayer of praise and worship is. And if we look at it on an individual basis in our private lives, it's very vital and important. And it says right here, it shuts the mouth of the enemy. And it creates a strength that comes from God himself that begins to be activated into our situations, into our tests or trials or things that may be confronting us or dealing with us. So I don't know about you, but that makes me just want to spend more time to get to know him. Now, we're not trying to praise and worship him to get God to do something. No. God has already done something 2,000 years ago. We're praising and worshiping him for who he is and what he has already done with thanksgiving, with acknowledgement, confession, worship, honoring him for who he is as the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And so when it comes to praise and worship, if we now let's turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, beginning with verse 3. I'm reading from the Amplified. And it says, and another angel came and stood over the altar. He had a golden censer, and he was given very much incense, fragrant spices, and gums, which exhale perfume when burned. In other words, that's our worship. That's worship. And that he might mingle it with the prayers of all the people of God, the saints, upon the golden altar before the throne of God. So you have the prayers of the saints and you have worship ascending before the throne of God. Okay? So in verse 4 it says, "And the smoke of the incense and the perfume arose in the presence of God." So here's the worship, here's the prayers. They both come together, they're mingled, and they come before what? The throne of God. The presence of God. It says, with the prayers of the people of God, the saints, from the hand of the angel. Verse 5. So the angel took the censer. He filled it with what? Fire. He filled it with fire from the altar, and he cast it back upon the earth. Then there was what? It says, then there followed peals of thunder and loud rumblings and blast and noises and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. So I would say this, between the worship of the saints and the prayers of the saints, and when it went before the throne room of God, the effect that it had in the throne room was very powerful. And when God answered those prayers and that worship that came before him, and he sent the answers back to the earth, that was a powerful impact on the earth, because it said it came back with fire from the altar on the earth. It was followed with peals of thunder, loud rumblings, blasts, noises, flashes of lightning, and even an earthquake. That's a lot of power. And just like I said earlier, Brother Hagin said, if people only knew the power that's made available in united corporate prayer, there would be more people coming out to pray as a church. Yeah. Closet prayer is for individual prayer, but the house of God is for united prayer or corporate prayer, where the body of Christ assembles together in the house of God and prays. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, in praise and worship, I wanted to share something that Norval Hayes shared. He's already gone to heaven, but he wrote a book on worship and praise. And he said, "My children basically love me, but they live in poverty, sickness, and defeat. They don't live in heaven's blessings because they don't worship me enough. Jesus told Brother Norval Hayes, he said, "You're teaching faith, healing, confession, you're praying for the sick, but you need to worship me more. And you need to teach my people to worship me more. I am their God and they are my children. If you'll teach my children to worship me more, I'll do great and mighty things for them and through them." Wow. So we don't spend time worshiping him enough, getting to know him. We want to be God pleasers, God worshipers, and God servers. Come on now. And when wherever before the throne room, every time as a church, when we assemble together, we have the opportunity to worship him. Boy, I'm telling you, we should want to worship him with all our heart's desire, that he has our full, undivided attention. He is the one we have come for. Not your friends, not your neighbors, not the one sitting beside you. No, when we come to church, it should be because of Jesus. We're excited, we're enthusiastic about coming to meet with him, coming to please him, coming to bring our best before him with our worship, with our praise, with our hearts that are open and receptive. Because, you know, there's a transaction business going, taking place between you and the Father when you're giving him your heart and a full worship and praise. So if Norval Hayes said, "So that my people don't praise me enough, but teach them to worship me more. Worship me more." He said, you could say it like this. They don't live in heaven's blessings because they don't worship me long enough for the anointing to come and break the yoke or destroy the yokes. We don't stay there long enough in praise and worship for the anointing to come. What's the anointing, Pastor Debbie? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. When you stay in the Father's presence long enough that that anointing begins to come and you sense His tangible presence, then things begin to be broken. Hallelujah. Because where there's the anointing, yokes are destroyed and broken. Praise the Lord. So let's turn into the book of John, chapter 4, John chapter 4, St. John chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, a time, I'm reading from the Amplified, a time will come, however, indeed it is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, reality. For the Father is seeking, that means it's still happening to this very day, in this very moment. For the Father is seeking just such people as these as His worshipers. Verse 24, for God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth or reality. God to this very day and moment is looking for genuine worshipers, true worshipers who know how to worship Him, the Father, in spirit and in truth. In spirit means with the help of the Holy Spirit. And in truth, the truth is the Word of God, knowing how to bring the Word back up before Him. True worshipers. Worshiping God creates an atmosphere around us so that we're talking about private personal worship, so that the devil's entrance is barred and he can't get in. But it also creates an atmosphere that is conducive for the movement of God in your life. And so many times we're overdoing begging, pleading and all this, and he's just asking if you would just get before me and worship me. Worship me. Praise me. True worshipers. Creating that atmosphere. Do you realize that you are an atmosphere shifter? You can create the right atmosphere for a movement of God in your life. Well, let's think about this. Let's move from personal, private worship and how important that is in becoming really good at it, practicing it, becoming good at it, doing more and more of it, not to get something from God or get something out of Him. No, we're coming, like I said, because of who He is and what He's already done for us. Thanking Him for it. Acknowledging Him. Magnifying Him. But when we look at it as a corporate setting of praise and worship, worship is the main course that a true waiter serves a divine customer. I will say that again. Worship is the main course a true waiter serves a divine customer. We are the waiters on God. He is our divine customer. Worship is our main course. Radical praise brings radical presence. We need to know how to host the Holy Ghost. We need to know how to host the Holy Ghost. When we create, when we come together as an assembly of the body of Christ and we assemble together, we want to create an atmosphere of intimacy, of passionate praise and worship from fervent hearts that are for God. We need to create a throne zone right here on the earth. Hallelujah. We need to give God persistent worship, insistent hunger that refuses to let up or give up until He shows up. Let me say that again. We need to give God persistent worship, insistent hunger that refuses to let up or give up until He shows up. Yeah. Waiting on Him, worshiping Him, loving Him, thanking Him. Yeah. When we come together as a church and we're all in one accord, desiring and wanting the same thing, expecting the same thing together. Where there's unity, the size of our unity determines the size of God's presence. Let me say that again. The size of our unity determines the size of God's presence. When we are in one accord, wanting the same thing, desiring the same thing, expecting the same thing together. Yeah. That one accord, that heart's desire. It creates a divine habitation. That's what we want, a divine habitation. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie, a divine habitation? That it brings the unseen into the seen realm. It brings the unknown into the known realm. It brings the unheard into the heard realm, where God begins to manifest His tangible presence to our five senses. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is here. He is to be highly esteemed and respected, worshiped, adored, magnified, glorified. We never want to get to the place where we treat God as common, as ordinary. He is holy. He is righteous. Knowing who He is and what He wants and desires should create a respect out of every one of us when we come before Him, so that we want the same thing. We're coming to give Him our best. And our worship, our thanksgiving, our praise, giving Him your highest and your best. Why? Because when the people of God create that divine habitation, it helps others who don't know Him to have encounters with Him.
Right.
We want the sinners to have encounters with Him, life-changing encounters. We want the backsliders to have encounters with Him where they'll never want to depart from Him ever again.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fear of God should be so in us that it creates a fear in us to never want to be apart from God. That we would be afraid of ever having to be apart or leaving God. So our unity and how we come together as a church, respecting holy things, treating things that are sacred and holy, and giving them their rightful place makes a big difference. So you think about this every time we have a service and we stand up to praise and worship Him. Are our hearts engaged on Him? It's all about Him. It's because of Him. It's in Him. It's through Him. There's nobody else. He is your one and only desire. When we understand how the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is such a jealous lover over us, of us. He is a jealous lover of us. He wants us for Himself, and He can never get enough of us. Yeah. And so when things come in our lives that begin to separate us from Him or take the place of Him, He's grieved, He's quenched. So when we come together as a church, we want to please Him. Our whole heart should be here for Him in our worship and our praise. The more that we can be in one accord and together in this and understand this, it will create a divine habitation. The greater our unity, the greater His presence, because we're expecting it. We're looking for it. We desire. Positionally speaking, you can't get any more of God. But experientially speaking, there is encounters and experiences with Him more and more that you get to know the Father. More and more. You can never over-experience and encounter God too much. There's so much of Him that needs to be shown to us. So tonight, since worship is the main course that you can serve a divine customer, I want the praise and worship team to come back up here. And we're going to take time to worship Him. Praise Him. Create an atmosphere that's conducive for divine habitation. Respecting, honoring, desiring Him more than anyone or anything.
The glory.